Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Anyone that has walked with the Lord for any length of time knows that a Christian's life is not free of trouble. However, in today's passage, the Lord assures those that love Him that He will be with them in their trouble. Jesus said that we would have tribulation in this world, but we can rejoice because He has overcome the world. Please open your Bible to Psalm 91, verse 11, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this chapter. He poured out His love,
His forgiveness of sin. Now here's a couple of verses that will sound very, very familiar. Remember when Jesus and Satan met in the pinnacle of the temple? Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4. This is the passage. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall you trample under foot. Notice here in verse 11. Right after there's the promise, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. There is this passage. It says, He, that is Jehovah, shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, some take this verse to mean that every believer is protected by a guardian angel. Now, I grew up in a religion where I was told that I had a guardian angel. Now, I know that I have an angel that guards me. I don't know if it's the same one. I don't know if there's just one angel that could guard me. My wife tells me that I'm about as elusive as Jell-O. But the Bible does say that angels are ministering spirits that are sent forth to minister to heirs of salvation. I'll bet everybody in this room has had at least one time, maybe two times, maybe a few times. I saw it happen today. I was on the way to meet the pastor, and I'm on 490, headed towards Greece, and there's these two cars. They weren't racing, I don't think, and they're about to converge in the same, in the middle lane. And I'm behind them, and I'm praying, and I'm not praying in a human language. I'm telling you this right now. I think this is going to be bad. And then all of a sudden, whoop! And I said, thank you, Lord. It's like a little angel went in there. How many times have you said, wow, what just happened? He does give angels to perform His will. We thank You for that. Now, Satan then takes verse 12 when he's tempting Jesus there. And when did Satan tempt Jesus? Right after His public water baptism. This is My beloved Son, and whom I'm well pleased. Then the Spirit of God drove Jesus into the wilderness, where He was tested or tempted by the devil for 40 days. And He tempted Him with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He's on the pinnacle of the temple. He says, go ahead and jump. Show them who you are. Because the Bible says, He said, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Isn't it interesting that when Satan quoted the script, the passage in verse 11 of Psalm 91, he left out the words, in all thy ways. Very important. He shall keep thee in all thy ways. Remember, the Bible says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The Lord Jesus Christ came to do the Father's will, and that meant that He came to walk in His ways. And had Jesus stepped out of the will of, He would have stepped out of the will of God if He had attempted to make the stones into bread, or if He had accepted the kingdoms of the world from Satan, or if He had cast Himself down from the pinnacle of the temple. Because to do any of that would have been out of the way of God. The promise was, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, what does that teach us? Well, I hate to say this, but there are a lot of believers that like to live on the edge of the world. It's like they want to have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. Enough of the blood of Christ to get to heaven, but they just want to do their own thing. That's a dangerous way to live. A very dangerous way to live. That is an abuse of grace. Now, after we're saved, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We know that. But it's different when you sin as opposed to sinning presumptuously, willfully, deliberately, constantly. Notice, you or I cannot reasonably expect protection if we are not walking in the way of obedience or the way of holiness. And we tempt God when we choose to live carelessly or irresponsibly. The Bible says, shall we sin that grace may abound? And what is the reply of Paul? God forbid. God forbid. God's ways are the paths of obedience. The way of sin is not his way. The way of the flesh is not his way. God will keep those who walk in his own ways. And when we choose to walk outside of the protective wings and shelter of the Almighty, we suffer consequences. We all do. We know that. And it's sad. Remember, Jesus said, I would have gathered you, but you would not. And it is so important for us. There's a passage in Hebrews that talks about how Jesus, though he were a son, he learned obedience. He learned obedience. He walked in the ways of the Father as the Son of Man. You see, that's where there's safety, right? In the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 14:26 says, there is strong confidence. Isn't it wonderful? Now, to just walk in the ways of the Lord, walk in the truth of God. There's such a confidence. There's such an assurance. You don't have to worry if a prophet Nathan walks into the church and... And you see, Satan always wants to lure you and I out of that narrow path that leads to life. He always wants to get us on the broad path. He always wants us to justify unrighteous ways. And it's always a lie. We've all suffered. Many of us have suffered, I look at you, the consequences of that kind of behavior, that kind of a lifestyle. That's not what grace is all about. The grace of God, Paul writes to Pastor Titus, teaches us to obey. The grace of God that bringeth salvation teaches us to obey. Well, let me read it to you. Titus 2 is so spot on to what I'm talking about right here. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Now it says in this present world. If it said in heaven, I got it nailed down. I won't have to worry about that. The grace of God that brings salvation teaches us. So the thing of it is, beloved, we are still in this unredeemed body. We still have a flesh that is wicked, that is corrupt. We still have this evil. We have a traitor that dwells within us. But now we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. And now we have been given the power to resist the things that we've been redeemed from. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, now I'm going way off the notes now, so 1 Peter chapter 4 writes these words, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it's strange that you don't run with them anymore. That's why some of your old friends can't figure you out. What happened to you? What happened? You're no fun anymore. You're going to a Bible study on a Wednesday night. What do you do for fun? I have a lot. I'm having a ball, to be honest with you. But you see, we're new creatures. And the enemy is, who's the tempter? God or Satan? Satan. And he tried to get the Son of God to walk out of the parameters of the Word of God. That's exactly what Satan wants to do with you or me. There is safety as we abide in Christ, as we fellowship with Christ, when we're praising the Lord, when we're walking in His ways. There is power in that, beloved. There's real power. There's victory. The Bible tells us that we can have victory over the enemy. That's in this life. We won't need that promise in heaven. You know that? You know that, right? The other people are talking about, well, I'm going to have victory when I get to heaven. Well, big deal. I don't need victory over the devil in heaven. He ain't going to be there. We need victory over the enemy now. I need victory over my flesh now. I need victory over my unrenewed mind now. Verse 13. Look at, you shall tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shall you trample under feet. Now, there are many who read verses 5 through 13 and conclude that this means nothing bad will ever happen to believers. That's not taught by the scriptures. That might be taught by Walt Disney, but that's not taught in the Word of God. You just read Romans chapter 8. Just read Romans chapter 8, beloved, and it puts it in context. You see, we have to read the whole counsel of God. Paul the Apostle says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." And then he goes on and he says, "What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword?" So if people tell you, please, if you're blessed by the Lord to lead someone to Christ, don't tell them, now your troubles are all over. You can tell them your sins are forgiven, but now I tell them, congratulations, you're in the army now, duck. Because God will put you right into boot camp. The worst thing that you can tell somebody is that their troubles are over. That's the worst thing you can tell them. Because it's a lie. Now, we don't go looking for difficulty, right? It just seems to happen. The enemy never asks for my permission. Can I tempt you? Can I mess with your wife? Can I mess with your son? Can I mess with your daughter? Please, Raymond, can I? Pastor Ray? No. He never asks for permission. That's just what he does. He's a liar. He's a thief. He comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. But when you look at Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, part of the family of God in heaven, don't tell me that those people never had problems in their life. That's just not real. But you know, when Satan quoted that passage to Jesus in the wilderness, that is what he suggested. That nothing bad can ever happen to you if you're a child of God. You see, and the devil wants us to think, listen carefully, that God's promises have failed whenever we suffer or experience hardship. How many times when you've suffered or experienced hardship or have had a disappointment, has the devil whispered to you, never God? So where's your God now, Raymond? If your God is so good, then fill in the blank. But the psalmist will tell us in verse 15, he will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. How many of you know that there's trouble in the Christian life? And I'm not talking when you shave or put your makeup on in the morning, the person in the mirror. That's trouble number one. That's big trouble. I'm more convinced than ever, the older that I get in biological years and in years with the Lord, that the greatest enemy that I have in my walk with the Lord is not Satan, is not the world, it's not other people, it's my heart and my disconnect with God. Luke 21, 16 through 18 says that not a hair of your head will perish. And yet then he says, they will put some of you to death. Listen, beloved, the only things that the people of God can ever lose in suffering are things that are finally expendable. We really lose nothing. And you know, when it comes to serving the Lord, I really don't like it when people say, you know, I've sacrificed a lot for Jesus. What are you telling me? But there is a great shot of victory, beloved. Look at the lion and the adder and the dragon are all names in the Bible for Satan. And it is Satan who ultimately will be trampled. Now, I know you're ready for a good old, yeah! Because it says in Romans 16, verse 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Isn't that going to be good? That day when you go, there! He will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. It's almost like God says, go ahead. You've been waiting to do this for a long time. But here, we have all of these promises of the armor of God, prayer, praise. And if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, you can tend to get a little bit puffed up. We can puff up our little spiritual chests and think that the devil is scared of us. A.W. Tozer said this. I love Tozer. He says, the only safe place for sheep is to be close to the shepherd, at the shepherd's side, because the devil doesn't fear sheep. He fears the shepherd. Stay close to Jesus, and all the wolves in the world will not get a tooth into you. Isn't that true? Now, verses 14 through 16. All right? Now, God speaks. This is God speaking to you, to me tonight, beloved. This is God speaking. Because he or she has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. What does it mean when we read in the scripture about knowing the name of God? It speaks of his character. It speaks of who he is. Because he, you, me, have set our love upon him. Paul exhorts us in Colossians chapter 3 to do what? Set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Beloved, where are your affections most set? Because he has set, fixed his love upon me. It's like when Hannah was leading us in worship and at the end speaking about the love of God. Because he has set his love upon me, that perfect love that casts out fear. The Bible says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. So whenever I'm fried, I had a counseling appointment with a dear saint this week, and this dear saint, just I've lost my peace. I said, well, where did you lose it? Go back to where you lost it. And you trace, well, I was reading this, or I heard this, or the doctor said that. Go back there, and now set your affection on things above. I will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on me. I think it was Jonathan Edwards that wrote a book, a beautiful book on renewed, sanctified affections. I don't know what the title is. Powerful. Powerful. Verses 15 and 16. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Don't you love that? So like right now, if I wanted to, I know I could dial. I'm not going to give you the number. And there'll be a beautiful lady that will answer that phone. And if she calls me, I go, yes, sweetie. You see, intimacy, because he shall call upon me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Wait a minute. In trouble? You know what the word trouble there means? Distress, tribulation, anxiety, stress, difficult places. You know, and when you and I are in those places, doesn't the devil lie to us? Well, if you're a Christian, what are you doing here? Where's your God? But many times, it's when we're in those places that when we learn to respond to the Creator, then react to the circumstances, those are the times where we experience the greatest presence of the Lord in our life. Daniel in the lion's den. That guy slept. And they had those lions fast. Can you imagine? The three Hebrew children. Paul and Silas in prison. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Well, see, in long life, the Bible says 60 years, if by God's grace, 70 years. How old was Jesus when he was crucified? How old was he? 33. There have been many godly men and women who have died at a young age. So this does not mean that you're going to live a long, long life here on earth. But you will live a full life. Every one of us have been redeemed by God. We've been given a measured amount of time, a measured amount of talents, a measured amount of gifts. And in the book of Revelation, we talk about we see the two witnesses in the midst of the great tribulation period. Satan could not touch them until they finished their testimony. When you and I will leave this planet, if we don't do something unwise like the Corinthians, remember? They didn't partake of the Lord's Supper reverently. They were careless, and some of them sick, and some of them were died prematurely. But when you and I seek to abide in the Lord and fellowship with the Lord, we are under the greatest witness protection program in the universe. And when we finish our testimony, we go home. We have eternal life tonight. All right, so we're going to close with this. Seven promises of God in verses 14 through 16. You probably saw them. One, I will deliver those who love me. Do you love the Lord? I hope you do. I know you do. He says, I will deliver those who love me. I will. Number two, I will set on high those who trust my name. Number three, when they call on me, I will answer. Number four, I will be with them in trouble. Whether you are the cause of it or whether you are the object of it. How many of you know that? How many of you know? Sometimes I've been the cause of trouble and God, Jesus says, Raymond, come here. That was not very nice. That's not very nice. And so just like a good dad or like a good shepherd, I'll be with him in trouble. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You know that? I will deliver them and honor them. I will reward them with... When the word long life means a full life. You know, the greatest life any human being can have on earth is walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest life. That's the greatest life. I could not even think of going back to where I was or how I used to live. Could not even think of it. And remember this, beloved, when it's contrary to the biblical principles, God does not take you out of Egypt and then put you back there. You choose to go back there. Don't go there. And then lastly, I will show them my salvation. And you know what the Hebrew word for salvation is? Yeshua. I will show them Jesus. And so as we close in song tonight, my prayer is that God would so do a work in each one of our lives congregationally. I believe with all of the things that are going on, that God is giving you and I an opportunity to draw closer to Him than ever before. My prayer is that there would be such a spirit of intimacy in your life with the Lord, in your home, in your family, and that you and I would learn to dwell in the presence of God and walk in the presence of the Almighty. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.